ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Second hour of the program right now. Second hour of the program right now. ESPN 97.5 on your radio dial. Here in H-Town, the bench, John Granato, Lance Zierlein, taking the day off, taking the week off. As we get ready to put a bow on 2020.
That's right. We're trying to wrap this year up. For most people, just an awful, awful, awful year.
You about to get 600 bones, though. Trump signed the bill.
Did he get to 600 or 2,000?
He didn't go to 2,000?
What's that?
I think it went to 2,000, didn't it?
No, it didn't.
No,
he wants it to go to 2,000. But
yeah, but here's the thing. The Republicans don't.
The House, yes. The Republican House doesn't want to do it.
And here's the thing. Everybody who voted for those Republicans, and I voted for a couple of them myself, to put them in there to help you, and they're blocking you. Well, some of them didn't get out of work. We don't need to give them all that. Think about the people you're putting in there. Think about what they – I mean, they're just – that's why I vote. My thing is strong on local government. Something I can actually touch. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, local government's not much better. And I don't mean that just in a Houston sense. I'm just talking about in general.
Right. But I can. I feel like I got a better touch of that.
You'd like to think so. And hopefully the after 2020.
What? I felt a conspiracy theory coming on.
No, there may be one before the show's over. There may be one before the week's over. Ain't no telling. But
2020's been rough.
There's a day of reckoning coming, though. And I don't mean with Biden. And I do not mean with Biden.
A day of reckoning.
Biden wouldn't know a reckoning coming if it slapped him upside the face.
A reckoning.
Dude, here, man. I'm telling you.
I'm just asking. You saying a day of reckoning.
I feel it. I feel it, man.
Yeah.
It's a coming. It's a coming. It's ain't no telling. And it's on both sides. It's on both sides. I think people we're just worn down as a country by both sides. Because if say what you want about Trump, and Trump's a clown, but let's not pretend like everything was hunky dory before he got in.
Yeah.
This thing's been brewing. So, anyway, listen, it's sports talk. It's a Monday. This crappy Texan season's been brewing, too, if you want to get right down to it. Bill O'Brien, God bless you. I tell you what, I think we can now safely say if there's one thing you can feel better about after this weekend's over, though, boys and girls, for all you people that do not like Bill O'Brien, and we know there's a lot of you out there, and with good reason, you can now safely say that Brian Flores is now the best head coach from the Bill Belichick coaching tree. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Say it again.
Brian Flores is now the best coach from the Bill Belichick coaching tree.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, well, you could argue that it's still Bill O'Brien.
Don't give me the four division wins in a crappy division.
He has won four division titles.
With 9-7 records? Well, he had that one year with a big record.
But. I think it was one year where they went 12-4. But, yeah. Hey. Henry Thomas, you know the adage. You line up against who they put against you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Are we just going by that one stat? That.
I mean,
because this guy in Miami is building a team.
Well, he's defied odds. I mean, let's call it what it is. He has defied odds. I mean, I don't think anybody expected this team to do what they did last year. I picked them to win the AFC East this year, and they control their own destiny with a win on Sunday, this upcoming Sunday, and they'll be in the playoffs after the unbelievable win against the Raiders on Saturday night.
Yeah, how does Fitzpatrick pull that off? I mean, the guy almost ripped his face off.
Almost ripped his face off. But, I mean, hell, he
still threw a dime.
Still threw a dime right to him. But, you know, you look at this, that team's got issues. Well, I shouldn't say the team's got issues, but that, Tua is still there. There's just still to me too many questions as to whether or not this guy can be a PC peer. I'm just not sold on him. And before, but you know, and these people, they should have gotten Justin Herbert. They should have drafted him. Let's not pretend like anybody in their right mind thought Justin Herbert was going to do what Justin Herbert's been doing this year. All right. The same people that want to say, oh, I knew Pat Mahomes was going to do that. No, you didn't. Okay. No, I didn't. I said after the preseason, you know, after you and I kind of finally got to see this guy live, I thought, okay, this guy, you know, him and Deshaun are going to be the next iteration of superstars from the quarterback position.
Exactly.
But when that draft pick was made, when the Chiefs jumped from 27 to 10 to grab Pat Mahomes, I was not crazy about the pick. I wanted them to get Deshaun Watson.
And now you call him what?
Football Jesus. I don't think there's anything far-fetched about that. Deshaun, I mean, you look at a guy like Deshaun Watson. What Deshaun's doing in the National Football League is not all that surprising to me. It's surprising that he's out there with, you know, guys that look like XFL retreads and continues to put up silly numbers.
Right.
All right. No disrespect to Brandon Cooks, because Brandon Cooks right now looks like, I mean, and you know, shout out to Kiki Kuti. I mean, Kiki Kuti's holding it down out there. All right. But Chad Hansen yesterday.
Who?
Yeah, that guy. Looks
isn't
that like
a, isn't he in the band, the Hansen?
No.
He's the brother that they wouldn't let in.
He's the brother. He's the other brother. There's a documentary coming out about him, the other brother. You know, he looked like the guy that was on a practice squad for good reason yesterday. All right. I mean, yeah, he had a couple good, you know, had a good game a couple weeks ago, but he came back down to earth yesterday. A couple drop balls that were right there where he should have had them, being an NFL wide receiver. Again, Kiki Kuti is what he is. All right. Is he a good slot receiver? I'd say average to good.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he you know, you had that huge drop against the Colts last week. You know, and he's, as we've all talked about before, he's had moments where he's had huge fumbles or huge drops, and that's just who Kiki Kuti is. Okay, did that mean he should have been banned and you know, banished to the Bill O'Brien doghouse for as long as he was? No, I don't think so.
Right.
All right, but the only, to me, bona fide, legitimate starting wide receiver you have on this football team is Brandon Cooks.
And for
Deshaun to continue to do what he's done with that impresses me. So, again, bringing that back full circle, the conversation about Tua Tagovailoa and people saying, oh, they should have drafted Justin Herbert instead of him. Listen, I was never sold on Tua coming out anyway. All
okay.
Right? I know you weren't because, you A, the guy's too small, and B, anybody with an injury history as lengthy as his.
Yes, and severe.
And if you're that beat up in college, and don't well, it's the SEC. I don't care if it's the SEC or not. Because guess what? There's big, fast guys in the NFL too. So if you can't hang in the SEC, what makes me think you're going to succeed in the NFL?
SEC gets you ready for that.
I mean, it gets you ready.
I mean, there was no speed change for me.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure. Just natural, seamless
just right
transition.
Up in there, yes.
All right. So real quick, putting a bow on the bad. Run defense for me, tackling for you. The RPO that they called with Deshaun at the end of the first half, or on the touchdown drive where they scored. I mean, I get it. He got into the end zone. But again, it goes back to, for me, he's all you have.
Right.
All right. Number, it starts and ends with number four. And I get it. You don't want to put him in harm's way. It's football. They run the chance of getting hurt anyway. But I get that. But why subject him to that potentially? Why call a play? Him scrambling is one thing. Calling a designed run where you're inviting damage is another thing. I get it. If you're 10-4 and you're playing for a division playoff, that's one thing. I don't need to run an RPO with him if I don't need to. There's nothing to prove at this point.
I was trying to get a win.
That's fine. Call another play.
But that one worked.
No, I get it worked.
Okay, so why are you bitching?
Because why put my quarterback in harm's way any more than I absolutely need to?
I didn't put him in harm's way.
No, you did. When you run an RPO, you're putting him in harm's way.
Because I read the tendencies of the defense. I knew what they were going to do on this play, and my guy's going to go in scot-free.
Yeah, but he didn't. He got hit on the way there.
That was all the way down to the end.
In the end, yeah, I mean, but
he was going for the touchdown. So you saying he should have just slid then lined back up?
No, I'm saying you shouldn't have ran that play.
It was a touchdown.
I get it.
You don't.
No, I do. No, you're 4-10. Who cares? Here's
we care. That's what I'm saying.
I get all that. But okay, so when Deshaun gets hurt on an RPO play that you ran when you're 4-10 and he's the only thing you got going for you, but hey, we were trying to win.
It's part
we've
of
got
the
an
game.
Entire we've got an entire offense that okay. We call plays.
He didn't get hurt on that play, correct?
No, he didn't.
Okay, he got hurt sitting in the pocket. Trying to throw a bomb.
He did.
I shouldn't have called that play either.
No, I'm okay with that play because again, I understand the risk. I understand the risk, but why invite more risk?
It's
because
the same
again,
risk.
He's, no,
every
it's
time
not
he
when
he
when
the
he's
ball,
when
it's
he's running when he's running for him standing in the pocket versus him running are two totally different things.
No, it's not.
To me, they are.
They shouldn't be.
Because, again,
because he's holding the ball. There's your invitation.
I understand that. But why I don't want to – why invite any extra injury with a run play?
Here it is. I got him dropping back. He's in the – I got design blockers to help him.
Yeah.
I called that run play.
Yeah.
I got design blockers to help him. He didn't get touched for 15 yards.
No, it wasn't even that big of a play. It was like a 5-yard run.
Okay.
Listen, we can go on all day about
this.
Yes,
I can.
I'm just you and I are not going to agree on that, and that's fine. I'm just saying I'm not going to put the one guy that's listen, at the end
okay,
of the
let
day.
Okay, let me change that for you. Let's say you have all the abilities and skills of Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
And you're that quarterback.
Oh, I'm going to run it.
Okay.
Of course I'm going
to
run
it.
Listen. Part of your job as a head coach and as a general manager is to protect professional athletes from themselves. Okay?
What? Are you going to send somebody to keep me from going out or something?
No. No, you're not going to do that, but that's not an issue with him. The issue, again, listen, is it that big of a deal? I mean, am I nitpicking here? Yes.
Absolutely.
But I'm also nitpicking a team that's 4-10. I mean, again, that's what I'm saying. I don't, like I said, is it at the end of the day, is it really that big of a deal? Probably not. No.
At the end of the day,
but you know what?
Guess what?
I understand all that. But at the same time, if I don't need to run that play when my team's 4-10 and at the end of the day, I'm not playing for anything, which they're not, call it what you listen, from a player's perspective, I get it. No, you're playing for pride. Okay, I'm gonna tell you what Marcellus Wiley said. F pride. Okay, that's pride bleeping with you. All right, because guess what? I need you in 2021. That's John Belmer. That's Henry Thomas. I'm Fred Davis. Three things. We disagreed on the play. We'll tell you the three things that we did like. And hey, there may be a similarity in there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Bench on a Monday.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zata Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back in. It's The Bench. Fred Davis, Henry Thomas, John B., the John B. That's right, he took a break from the singing career, and he's producing for us here.
It's quite the fall off.
Well, I think it speaks more to just your diversity as a overall media talent, more so than anything else. It's John B. Ever since John B. left Best Buy has basically been pilfered at an alarming rate. John was single-handedly preventing all the thefts in Best Buy. They let John go, and now it's just become a free-for-all. In fact, I got this Surface from Best Buy because John wasn't there. Just walked out with it. Didn't even care. Didn't even took the wireless remote mouse with me on the way out. Took one of them little stylus pins I haven't even used yet, just because I could. Just because I knew
no one was there.
John B. wasn't holding it down, wasn't blocking anybody from doing it. And I said, you know what? If this is the way we're going to operate in 2020, can't beat them, join them.
There you go.
Can't beat them, join them.
But you're going to change your ways in 2021. They're
changing my ways in 2021, baby. Changing my ways in 2021. Shout out to all the people on the Twitch feed. We introduced ourselves at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. We are Fred Davis. We are Henry Thomas. We are John Belmer. We are doing the bench between today and Thursday, and John Lance out. So you will have us until Thursday. Hopefully you enjoy it. And hey, if you do, give us a follow on the old Twitter sphere at the Freddie D at Henry Thomas NFL. John B, what's your Twitter out there for the folks?
At Third Coast Johnny.
At Third Coast. Is that J-O-H-N-N-Y?
Yes, it is.
There you go. Third Coast.
3-R-D.
3-R-D. Third Coast Johnny right there. Get you some.
Hey, I'm good with it.
At Henry Thomas NFL, nothing needs to be said.
Yeah, you can find that anywhere.
You can find that anywhere. So join us on Twitch.
Twitter, I'm on the gram because of you.
You are on the gram as well, at Henry Thomas NFL on the gram as
Bang,
well. So we're trying to, you know, it's all about branding, they say. It's all about branding. All right.
Good.
RPOs, baby. Henry Thomas says run them any chance you get.
Score with them.
Be 0-15. What? Putting my quarterback in harm? Do it.
Hey.
Do it.
He's the reason that we're there. So.
He's getting paid. Let him do it. My last bad. Can I do one more bad?
Yeah, do one.
Can I do one more bad? The fact that your run game improved without your bookend tackles.
That is a good and a bad. It's a bittersweet.
That's a bittersweet.
Yeah.
That's a bittersweet, but I'm going to call it bad because when you lose Laremy Tunsil, when you lose Titus Howard, which Titus Howard you knew going into that game you weren't going to have because of the concussion issue. But Laremy Tunsil leaves in the first half, did not return.
What did he leave of?
I was afraid you'd ask me that.
Yeah. Maybe somebody else that JJ was talking to?
Oh.
I'm just asking. Oh. I'm only posing the question here, people.
Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. But no, and again, we know that. The coaching issue from this football team is an issue, is problematic from top to bottom. Executives obviously a problem from top to bottom. So you know, there's not one group you can point to and outside of Deshaun Watson. Look at whether it's the linemen, which to me the linemen are the most disappointing of the entire secondary. Because the thing of it is.
Because they've been together for a couple years.
They've been together. You've got, quote-unquote, the most talent of any group in that position group. All right? And I'm gonna stop using Deshaun because, obviously, he's the outlier in all this. But when you look at a position group in its entirety of who has the most talent, all right, we know the secondary's terrible.
Yeah.
We know the linebacker group has been ravaged and is mediocre at best. And, by the way, one more thing. For the love of God, Houston Texans, can you please stop with these stupid air guitar celebrations?
Why?
They look ridiculous. They're bad. You've been bad all year, and you've done the same tired, stupid ass celebration all year long. Get a new celebration. Who does air guitars? You're 4-11.
They're called the Rock Boys.
The Rock Boys?
I think that's why they do it, yeah.
The Rock Boys.
How's that working out for them?
They're not great.
I mean, listen.
Well,
now
he knows, see?
You know what?
Now you see it and you go, what?
You know where Rock Boys belongs? Next to the letter jackets, okay? That's where the Rock Boys belong, next to the letter jackets.
You imagine you get a jacket on.
What's that?
You mad you didn't get a jacket, aren't you?
Am I mad I didn't get a jacket?
I can see it.
No, I'm mad that the Texans went out and remember.
You didn't get a jacket, did you?
You remember when the Texans had their Letterman jackets?
I remember.
And then they went out and got walloped on Monday Night Football by the New England Patriots.
But you didn't get a Letterman jacket in high school, did you?
I didn't, know.
No.
I could have.
Did you get one in the Navy?
They don't do Letterman jackets in the Navy.
Really? No Letterman jacket?
What
they do little medals.
What are you getting a letter in?
I'm just saying.
It's the Navy.
Know.
There is no. There's no letter to get.
Not getting sick or something?
As long as I got paid every 2 weeks.
Okay, that's different.
As long as I got paid and didn't get kicked out. Okay. Those were my two.
That was your goals?
Those were my two. Again, I was a much younger, much more idiotic Fred back then, which didn't say a whole lot from where Fred's at today. But, yeah.
So,
Rock Boys.
That's why they do it. Because they're the Rock Boys. They don't have a Letterman's jacket anymore. So you saying get rid of the Rock Boys? What other celebration you want? You want them to do a backflip before they get into the end zone?
I don't need all that. No, I don't need all that. But I mean, it's a dance. It's a celebration that has looked as ridiculous as your defense has all year round, all year long.
Defense don't get to do that much though.
No, and I get that. I mean, that's why I've never had an issue with the whole after a guy makes an interception or picks up a fumble, they all run to the other end of the...
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I have no problem with that, okay? Like that. And you know what? Here, I guess it goes back to this. Air guitar is a lot cooler when you're 11-4. All right? Would I have an issue with the air guitar at 11-4? A little bit. I mean, because I still think it looks stupid.
Air guitar looks stupid.
I think it does. To me, I think it looks corny.
So does Deshaun stop doing the bow and arrow as well? Are you going to tell him to stop doing that?
You don't like that one either?
The bow and arrow.
How about a banjo? Can they do a banjo?
Ding, 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 ding. I mean, I don't want to sound like a curmudgeon here, and maybe I am. But
you are being a curmudgeon.
I never said I don't like celebrations. I'm A-okay with celebrating. It's part of the game.
But you want something more creative.
I guess my thing is that when I see the four-string guy for the Texans.
Air guitaring.
He's a rock boy. He just got to be a rock boy. I guess that's part of the indoctrination,
Let me pose the same question to you. If you had all the talents of Deshaun and you made a big play, what would your celebration be?
I'd go Barry Sanders on him.
Just hand the ball.
Drop the ball off and go back.
Okay.
I'm more of a stare at the crowd kind of guy.
You're a Breckman. Stare to the camera.
I'm more of a stare at the crowd.
I would have took you as a spike kind of guy.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, when you got to, you got to. But I'm more of a just kind of throw the ball and just kind of stare at the crowd, mug the camera for a second. That's right. That's right.
I got you. Okay.
That's more my style right there. That is more my style. All right. So, three good things that we took away from yesterday's ball game. Number one, and we've already beat it to death. Deshaun.
Absolutely.
Deshaun. It's frightening when you look at his numbers. Seriously. When you look at what this dude has done this season.
With the garbage that he's got around him.
With the XFL retreads that he's got going on for wideout. And we like Brandon Cooks.
We love Brandon Cooks.
Love's a strong word.
Wait a minute. I like the two tight ends.
I'm glad you do.
I thought they stepped up in this last game.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oof. Well, you had your boy Pharaoh Brown.
Fighting.
Trucking.
Yeah.
Trucking guys. That's the thing about this group, right, is that you've got just three lumbering dudes. Kahili Waring, still waiting for him to do something special. Don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. You heard about how athletic he is. But that's such a tired, like, he's athletic. It's the NFL. Yes. Hey, show me the guy. I'm going to wait to see. Show me the guy that's not athletic.
Brady.
Tell you what, though.
Brady.
That arm. I don't need Tom Brady to run a 4.5.
Okay.
I don't need Tom Brady to run a 5. Tell you what I do need him to do. Chuck that ball like he did on Saturday. That throw he made to Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
For the touchdown. Between two dudes.
Yeah.
That
was money.
That was a Hall of Fame throw right there. That was an elite. That was a Tom Brady, still elite-ish when you make throws like that. And we're going to get into the playoffs here in just a second. We'll start it next segment.
It feels more like, to me, that was like, I could do that once. You know, I used to be able to do that, but I could do that one time this time.
No, I disagree wholeheartedly. I think this is, Tom, what you saw on Saturday, and let's tell you what, We're going to come back. We're going to wrap up our good.
Okay.
Something we talked about on Saturday on when we were doing Sports Map. And it was exactly what you saw on Saturday. Okay, and this is what's going to separate it as we get into, because we'll put a bow on the Texans talk here in just a second. We'll start getting to some NFL talk. We also want to get into some NFL head coaching discussion as well as GM discussion as well. Plus your phone call, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Coming up next, we'll put a bow on the Texans, three things we liked from what we saw yesterday, and then, of course, we'll jump into the AFC playoff chase and why TB12 looking as dangerous as ever. Why? We'll tell you next. Don't go anywhere.
Cause now I'm under your spell. I keep seeing visions of you. Visions of visions of you. I keep getting stuck in this day. Stuck in this deja vu.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
First down Texans at the Bengals 25. Deshaun steps back, looking, firing left side of the end zone, and caught, touchdown, Brandon Cooks, 25-yard TD. Sean gets the snap, four-man rush, Watson with the pocket collapsing, escapes out to the right side, throws short, Fells 10, Fells to the 5, Fells take with him, trying to get to the goal line, and Fells is in, powers his way in, the Texans go in front.
That's it. R.I.P. Debo.
Hey.
R.I.P. Debo.
R.I.P. No kidding.
Granted, he died last week, but we weren't on the week before. Little Friday soundtrack for you. That was our boy Deshaun scoring that touchdown.
There you go.
How would you have felt if he'd gotten hurt? It's part of the game, Fred. It's part of the game. It's just the way it goes.
Fred, looking at the player here. I'm a player.
Are you a player or you just crush a lot?
Look, I'm not a player. I just get a lot of play. How about that? How about that? That's all it is. It's
it.
It's, you know, I've been hurt in my career, you know.
Emotionally or physically?
Both. Both. Very much so, both.
Would you argue that the emotional physical, the emotional pain was more than the physical?
The emotional pain, yeah, because it was at the end. We had no therapy for it. Just
nothing you could do about it. Just take it.
Like,
just take
just
it.
Just going through some things and don't know you're going through it.
That's the worst.
That's the worst.
That literally is the worst. You know what? It almost as bad as this plug-in not working. But by the way, can I add one more thing to my three bad? Can I add one more?
Okay, another.
The gee dunk machine, since we're using Navy terms. A.K.A. the snack machine.
Yeah, doesn't take dollars.
Doesn't take dollars, right? So I figured, well, maybe because all the change was used, right? Yeah. So I thought, okay, Fred, in his infinite wisdom, decided, hey, let me get some quarters. Because it does take quarters, right?
Right.
Wrong.
No quarters either.
Wrong. Wrong about that.
Is this a machine that shows?
I guess it's a machine that just teases you.
Does it have a...
Like a lot of the women in my life, just teases me.
Really?
Here you go. Here you go.
It doesn't have a place for a card swipe?
Bro, this is ESPN 97.5.
Is there
a card swipe?
There's only one.
Yeah, there's a gourmet chef out in the lobby, too. Did you see him on the way in?
There's only one thing left to do.
I mean, it's cooking up omelets.
Shake the machine. Whatever falls out, that's what you get.
Okay, Hulk. I mean, what are you, David Banner?
What? You never shook a machine before?
Oh, absolutely. I've shook a machine when the candy stuck. Not just walked up to it because it wouldn't take my money and just started shaking it.
Stuff will drop out. I'm just letting you know. I didn't shake the machine because...
Have you tried shaking it or flipping it over yet, Fred? I would strongly encourage you try that.
Hey, when it's taking my money?
Well, no, it never took it. That's my point.
See, I see your passive area, you weren't aggressively, like I put money in the machine before,
yeah,
and it didn't give me anything, so I had to tilt it to get whatever.
But did it accept your cash?
Took it.
But that's what I'm saying. No. See, that's the issue with this.
That's what I'm saying.
It won't even take it.
I see how you're not upset enough to shake it because you didn't take nothing from me.
I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm not upset enough to take it. It's just I don't care enough.
I hear your stomach growling.
Upset versus care. That's a big difference. That's a big difference.
I hear your stomach growling. So I was just, I'm concerned for you.
You should be. I'm concerned for all the Texans fans. J.J. Watt is concerned for all the Texans fans. Just an impassioned plea yesterday. You know what? Even if I was a Texan, I don't know that I'd be all that moved by. I guess, is that bad that I wasn't moved?
He wasn't trying to move you.
But J.J.
He didn't care about you. He wasn't trying to move you. You know what?
You were, though. I mean, you felt it.
I felt exactly. I know
which
exactly.
Which says a lot about, which was why I'll take this, which is why I'm willing to change my perspective on said rant. Because I know it takes a lot for you to get moved emotionally. Because you might be one of the most emotionally numb people I know in my life. So when you get moved by something, I got to really kind of reconsider the message.
Slow down. Pump your brakes.
I have to really dig down and say, oh, wait.
I understand what he was saying. I'm not saying I was moved to go try out or nothing like that.
You didn't want to get after those 6.5 left?
No. That ship didn't sail. But what I am saying is I see his point. I understand his passion. And he made great points. And he, you know, people try to say, well, who was he talking about? Who cares? He was talking about the team in general.
Yeah.
The people who he was actually talking about.
They know who they are.
They knew he was talking to them. Exactly.
Do you think this is something where they've been talking about this, or is it just the losses piling up just finally enough? I mean, he finally just boils over. This was his Michael Douglas falling down moment.
It's all of it. I mean, it's the whole thing put together, end of the season, not a good season. Boom, here we go. Now what? We got one more game. How many sacks JJ got this year? 7, 6?
Somewhere. I think he's somewhere in that ballpark, yeah.
I'm going to get to 10 in this last game.
Well, they're going to probably get blown out again on Sunday. Well, you got a Tennessee Titan team that win and they're in. Win and they win the division.
Well,
so they have to win on Sunday.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I do feel like.
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
Well, okay, so here's my question. So for all the guys that were missing tackles on Sunday, and we saw and we know who they were, and we know there was plenty of them.
Where this is going.
You really think them dudes are going to really be ready to try to tackle 22? Because, again, that team, you should get a healthy dose, especially with as bad as that run game. I mean, listen, if you made Samaje Perine
right
look like O.J. Simpson yesterday, what do you think Derrick Henry's going to look like next week?
Well, that's the thing that's the big question. Do they come out and – because they're going to get a healthy dose of Derrick Henry. But I think on the other side of the ball, it's just like the last game. I told you the last game that the Texans are going to put up a big fight for this one. And they did. They lost it on a dumb play towards the end. Guy breaks loose, da-da-da-da. We all know.
By the way, JJ's got 5 sacks this year. So.
And he's probably leading the team.
I believe he is.
He's also tied on the team for interceptions.
Yes, he is.
With one.
With one.
With one.
With one.
That's
one
sad.
Interception. That's horrid.
One. Leads the team in interceptions with one.
Yeah.
You know, they may move him to safety next year with numbers like that.
Really?
Think about it. Jamal Adams has more sacks than J.J. Watt in the last 2 seasons combined. Jamal Adams.
Yeah, but who else on the team? I mean, look how Merciless played. Come on, man. He's sitting around counting money.
Well, he didn't play yesterday, so that may – not that that was a big difference from any other game that he's played this
all
year.
All week, exactly. I mean, all year long, look at the way he's done.
He's looked like somebody that had COVID all year long. So J.J., 5 sacks on the year, 49 tackles, all right, and as our boy Belmer alluded to, leads the team interceptions with
one.
Uno. All right, so number 1, we both liked Deshaun yesterday. We both agree on that. Number 2.
I like the offensive play calling. It showed a little. It showed a little more. Like they took a little chance. They pushed the ball down the field. It complemented the running play. Complemented the passing play. Plays. Pardon me. It was kind of refreshing. I mean, that I could not sit there and watch the game and go, here comes that off-tackle run. Oh, he's trying to throw this one. Oh, here comes the screen. It was, when I'm not doing that in the game, the play calling is up to par. And it was. I mean, when I thought it was a draw, they threw the pass. When I thought it was going to be the same old handoff, they run the run pass option. It was I really enjoyed the play calling because I wasn't there guessing correctly at what the play was.
Time in time, you weren't pulling your you weren't going all Tony Romo on the picks.
Exactly.
And real quick, just to update something else. J.J. Watt is your leading sack artist again this year. He's got 5. Whitney Merciless coming in at number 2 with 4, and then you got a couple guys with 3. In both Zach Cunningham and Jacob Martin, and then, of course, our boy Charles Amenahu. So can we give a shout-out, too, to Terrell Adams? Terrell Adams has had himself a season this year.
Yeah.
All right, going to finish up right now. He's on pace. He's going to have at least 120 tackles this year. He's on pace for 120 tackles.
I like it.
And for a guy that you pretty much just picked up off the scrap heap and him able to do what he did this year, for this football team says a lot about him. Now, what, you know, again, is he a guy that, I mean, obviously you're not going to give him some fat contract.
Yeah.
But, you know, considering what you've got and what you're going to need to kind of make, you know, work with next year, you know, probably a little more cash strap, a little cap strap next year. You know, you got, again, depth is going to be hard to find, especially considering that you have no first or second round pick.
Okay.
So, you know, a guy like a Terrell Adams, you need him to step up again next year. And, of course, that remains to be seen whether he'll be able to or not.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to pick up some people in the draft regardless, but because of the season that he's had, they're going to have to pay him, give him something. Because, to be honest, I mean, as great a season as he's having, I don't think there's going to be a lot of teams beating down that door to come and get him.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Okay.
I don't see why there would be. I mean, but you never know. I mean, again, this is a guy who before this year, all right, since 2016 – I mean, let's put it this way. Since 2016, this guy's been with now, granted, he's been with the Texans for the better part of the last 3 seasons, but as far as from a practice squad and what have you. But, I mean, he's never had – before this year, he'd never had more than 18 tackles in a season. That was back in 2018 with the – excuse me, that was back in 2017 with the Raiders.
And that, all right. That was more than half of them were probably special –
probably special teams tackles, exactly. You know, whereas this year he got thrust into action and has responded for the most part. Sure. Has been a glimmering light – on an otherwise dark defense.
Absolutely.
All right. He's the one. I mean, again, if there's one guy you can take away from when you look at, all right, JJ did what JJ does. Mm-hmm. Okay. And JJ's really, I mean, again, JJ needs to be segued into the second or third D end attraction on your team.
Okay.
Okay. Because, I mean, he's got 9 sacks combined over the last 2 seasons. I mean, he is what he is. JJ Watt is the bonus plays and taking up blockers is where he's at now.
Yeah.
He's a disruptor.
So let's get him some help.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Coming up next, our final good, your phone calls, and we'll get ready for the second half of the program. Don't you go anywhere. John B, HTFD on the B. Don't go anywhere. Medicine woman.
To date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
On your mark, set, let's go. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I thought I was Will for a minute.
Give it to me, man.
That's all I know. That's all I remember.
Getting jiggy with it.
That's it.
Will Smith gave us one of the better memes of 2020.
Did he?
Yeah, when he was doing that Red Room show, whatever the hell it was, with Jada. And she dropped the dime on him. Oh, by the way.
The entanglement with August.
Yeah, that I've been banging this dude. And he's just like.
It's like, okay. You know what that reminded me of, though? That story I told you when I came home when I was in college, had a girlfriend, we're kind of living together.
Yeah.
She came home about 5:30 in the morning, and I was in the kitchen. And I was like, you want something to eat? You know, I was like making like something to eat. She was like, all pissed off. My other man would have kicked my ass for coming in like this. I was like, shut up. I just got home my damn self. It's exactly what it reminded me of. He just had that look like,
But for her to put it out there on to the world like that, you know, that's maybe one of those conversations that I would prefer to hear behind closed doors. Not necessarily out there for the whole world to see. But, hey, that's why I'm not a celebrity.
Yeah, and, you know, he's Will Smith.
He is Will Smith. He can pretty much do whatever.
And he probably was like.
He wants to do.
Let me get my list out of who I've been with.
You know, I mean, it's not like he's not Will Smith. By the way, speaking of black actors, my man Denzel, new movie coming out next month.
Yeah.
Called The Little Things. And if you guys haven't seen, and movies are all jacked up right now. We're going to talk about movies in the last hour. I'm going to throw the question out there. Will you ever go back to the movies? Because they're saying that the movie industry, that this whole, obviously the pandemic has changed a lot of things. Let's call it what it is. But one of the things that's going to change is the movie industry.
Yeah.
Because people just, I mean, even now that we've got a quote-unquote vaccine, and, you know, eventually you'd like to think things will return to some semblance of normalcy in 2021. We can all cross our fingers that that's going to happen. But is it going to, I mean, people are going to be freaked out from here on out. I mean, the COVID has done irreparable damage to our way of life as we know it when it comes to distancing from folks, wearing masks, breathing on people. I mean, that is from now. I mean, you can't watch a show. Like, I can't remember what I was watching last night. I think it was an older show. And, you know, everybody's all up in their face. And I was like, oh, pre-COVID. And it's just, I wonder how it's going to affect, for instance, going to the movie theaters. Will you go back to the movies?
If the movie's good, they're still showing it.
They will still show it in some form or fashion, yes. I mean, I think there's some movies that you just want. Oh, I know what it is. He's going to be in a movie, if I'm not mistaken, Will Smith's going to play Richard Williams in a movie called King Richard.
Really?
Yeah. And that movie is going to go to theaters because the Williams sisters insisted they want to see their dad on the big screen. So, which, hey, listen, let a biopic come out about me. That bitch better be going out to the theater.
Well, they do a biopic about me. I know when mine's going straight to DVD. Blu-ray. Dude, put that on Blu-ray right there. We can see what.
We know Sean Mapes will be getting that. Yeah, we know Sean, if that movie goes to Blu-ray, Sean Mapes will be all over that. Absolutely. Maybe the first person to own one. We didn't even know Blu-ray still existed until the other day when our boy Sean Mapes, incorrectly gave us fake news that Slim Thug had gone to St. Pius.
Yeah. And I should have been able to dispute that by telling him, no, he went to Eisenhower.
Should have known better. Should have better known better, Henry Thomas. Yes, yeah. Should have better known better, but you didn't. But you didn't. So, but we did correct ourselves, and we corrected Sean Mapes when we found out that, in fact, Slim Thug did not go to St. Pius and is indeed an Eisenhower Eagle.
That's right.
Swoop, swoop. Last two things that we liked about the Texans, and we'll put a bow on Texans talk for pretty much most of the show. We will get into a little head coach and GM talk because, I've already told y'all once before, there's one head coach to me, and that's it. David Johnson ran like a man possessed yesterday.
For the first time.
That was the David Johnson we'd all been waiting to see. You finally got a little piece of what he can do.
Also, you also made the point that the offensive line looked better without the two bookends.
They did.
So did they?
They did.
They blew some really nice holes for him to run through.
No, they did. And plus, he just looked, I mean, he looked decisive.
Yeah.
And you know, that was one thing about him that I hadn't, that you really hadn't seen, was just how decisive he looked yesterday.
And that's the first time we actually got an opportunity to see his speed, where he actually had burst. And I was thinking, man, he's hitting out holes slow.
That was probably what surprised me the most, was, yes, the burst and the wiggle that he had yesterday. Like, he didn't look like some lumbering, like, like, he looked like a legit NFL running back who had, I mean, he looked like a guy that 2 or 3 years ago had run for, you know, 1,600 yards of scrimmage yards, right?
Right.
I mean, he looked legit yesterday. And you saw that 12 carries for 128 yards, a little over 10 yards a pop.
Speaking of running backs.
Yes, sir.
Just, John B., do you know how many yards Derrick Henry is away from 2,000?
I'll look it up real quick for you.
Okay, I'm just wondering because I'm asking you. If it's within 160, does he break it against the Texans?
I don't think he's that close. I don't think he's even close to 1600. I think he's probably in that 1600 yard vicinity.
If I had to guess, he was closer to like 17 or 18.
Henry
at
Thomas,
1777 yards.
Boom.
So he would need 223. To go to 2,000.
Hey, that might be possible.
Oh, listen, if you just plan on feeding him the rock, but here's the question I have for you guys. Here's the question going into the playoffs. You're obviously not going to get a bye.
Right.
All right. And, you know, you would like to think that you're going to need at least 25 carries to get to 203.
Okay.
Of course, with this Texans defense.
And the tackling.
Exactly. And I don't care how spirited and how fired up J.J. Watt sounded yesterday. You know, Derrick Henry can change a lot of hearts. And if I'm Vernon Hargraves and I've been getting my ass beat all year and I'm just happy to be on a football team and I see 22 coming at me, I may not even put an arm out. I like this arm.
Throwing something at him. Come on now.
I'm making veteran minimum. I ain't getting paid enough. You know, it's easy for J.J. to say he's making $17 million. You know, if I was making $17 million, I might jump in front of Derrick Henry too. Ain't gonna be the day though. My point is that as you saw Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers, and what you've seen from this Tennessee team throughout the course of the year, one, they can't play from behind.
No, not built for it.
They are not built from coming from behind, which is their kryptonite.
Which is surprising because they have two receivers that are just.
Well, do you buy what Chris Collinsworth said?
What did he say?
Yesterday, that offensive line is built to run block and just is not designed to do any kind of extensive pass blocking.
You're an offensive lineman. It goes hand in hand. It's not like defensive guys, we're going to pull him out on because he just stop the run.
Right. I mean, having a guy that's a designated pass rusher on third down, that's one thing.
That's one thing. But you're an offensive lineman. It goes hand in hand. Pass blocking and run blocking. It's the same thing. One you're going forward, one you're going backwards.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Same technique.
Well, no, not the same technique. But I can just really get into a bunch about the techniques. But there's no, they're only built for run blocking. That's ridiculous. You're an offensive lineman. It's hand in hand.
Yeah.
So there's no breaking. There's no separating the two. If you're bad
at. But you see guys that are good at run blocking and not so great at pass blocking.
Then you're not an offensive lineman. Then you come off the field and sit down over here.
In the Henry Thomas School of the Trenches, if you can't do both, then
you can't do
I ain't
it.
Got time for you.
I ain't got time for you. Got nothing for you.
But you saw yesterday that it looked, I mean, it was a decidedly different outcome. He had guys in his face. As soon as he snapped the ball, when it came time for them to drop back, listen, no one's going to get Tannehill confused for being Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers anytime soon. But I don't care who you are, it's hard to throw when you got a dude in your face as soon as you snap the ball.
Start run blocking. If you're good at it, you got 3 yards before your illegal man downfield. Run block it then. If you're that good at run blocking, start it off as a run block.
Just curtail it and get the ball out quick.
It's, you know what? Green Bay can get after the pass. That black and blue division. Oh, I'm sorry, dated myself.
That's it.
but they can rush the passer. They have guys that can rush the passer. They're very good at it. And their defensive scheme was outstanding.
Oh, we talked about Green Bay, what they did last night.
Oh, five defensive linemen? Come on, man.
Yeah.
You ain't running the ball, and we coming after you.
Right.
Come on, because we got all the holes plugged.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough for them to get 220. I don't know if they plan for the whole game.
That's a good question, too. That's a great question, too. All right, coming up next, second half of the program. Get your minds right. We got a little fraudulent or for real. AFC, NFC, Texans head coach and GM search. Head coach we can get into all day. GMs, let's call it what it is. Most of you have no idea who you want, and really you wouldn't know even if you did know, all right? Plus your phone calls and more. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Coming up next, we'll take a look at Week 16 playoff teams and where we're at as we jockey for NFL playoff position. Henry Thomas, John B., Freddie D. here on ESPN
97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.